quick story. Back in the early 80s, Sheraton House was started in 1968, and then for boys, homes for boys on that little campus in Hollywood. And then we knew we needed another campus for girls. We just didn't have any money for another campus for girls. But I knew that I knew that I knew God wanted us to do this, and I knew He could do it. But it was a real leap for me. And so we're just talking about it and sort of looking. And a friend of mine named Bob Legg, who was a surveyor here years ago, was in a meeting in New York City with a man who showed up late, a very wealthy man, showed up late for the meeting and said, "I'm so sorry I'm late. I've been with my accountant and my attorneys. I need a tax write-off. We're looking at our taxes and we're just trying to figure out a tax write-off." And Bob Legg says, "You know, you own 40 acres in Southwest Ranches in Broward County. Can you cut loose some of that?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll give four acres. And it was a very expensive piece of property. And off west of Flamingo, one block. And he said, can you let me know right now?" And he called me, and he said, "I want you to go out and check some property." And I'd never been that far west in Broward, and I knew that there was a nudist camp out there somewhere. And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's given us the nudist camp or next to the nudist camp or whatever. Well, it wasn't. It turned out to be in a beautiful, beautiful area. In fact, down the street is the largest home in Broward County on Sterling Road. The largest home, 20,000 square feet. It's ridiculous. It looks like the Biltmore Estate. But anyway, he ended up giving us the property. And contractors came and built two girls' homes out there. It's just like, how do you do these things, Lord? We're going to look today at faith and how important it is to know a couple of things. There's nothing God cannot do, nothing. And it's so interesting because we're heading into the Good Friday and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and that He told the disciples over and over and over and over that, "I'll be back. Yes, I'm going to die, and I'll be back in 3 days, resurrected back." And they didn't even show up at the tomb. They were hiding in an upper room somewhere. It was ladies that showed up at the tomb, crying and he walks out. If He can do that, there's nothing He can't do. In our lives, we need to know that. Whatever you're dealing with, there's nothing He can't do. And even though, you know, this is a challenging time, we need to look at the things that are happening that are awesome. 22 colleges having a revival. And one of those revivals, thousands of kids were running forward at the altar call. It's unbelievable what's going on right now. In the midst of all of that, Damar Hamlin has a heart attack in the NFL on the football field, and it changes from a football game to people all over on their knees praying. And turns out not only is he all right, but an ESPN on national television commentator says we need to pray. And I remember watching that going, I'll never in my life thought I'd see this. And then all of a sudden the movie about Calvary Chapel comes out. I mean, stuff is happening right now, and don't focus on the ugly. Focus on God's doing something right now. Yeah, the auction at Sheraton House, days before, we had like 30 people signed up, scare me to death, and on and on and on and on and on. And at the auction, a guy shows up and says, you're getting ready to build a building over here. I can see it staked out. And he was a contractor. And I said, "Yes, sir, we're building actually our largest building because we're putting a school there. I've pulled our boys out of public school. I just couldn't take it anymore with the things they were learning. And so we're putting a school right there. And it'll also be a big meeting room. We also won't have a tent for the next auction. It'll be in there." And he said, who's pouring the pad? And I said, "Well, we're looking for that. Let me do it. I'll pay for the concrete and pour the pad free." And it's like, I know that people think I go out and make these things happen. I'm more shocked than anybody. And I know my Father in heaven wants me to know, Bob, I can do it all. And you of all people. We have two moms that need cars that are living in our single mom village. Two cars were donated last week. Wow. Two used cars. People, instead of trading them in, decided, hey, I'll take the tax write-off. It's, you know, we have a phrase, seeing is believing. No, believing is believing. I've got to just trust that you can do this. And it's such an interesting thing. In Matthew 9:27, it starts with this. After Jesus left the girl's home, the girl was dead. He brought her back to life. And that's a fact. Can I just say that again? Just like Damar Hamlin, that's a fact. Jesus After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, this whole Son of David thing is a reference to Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, Mary's husband, and he is from the line of David, and we know that from Luke 2:1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to register, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and registered with Mary. The picture here is, he went down there. I'm sure he's wanting to say to God, "You're kidding me. She's hours away from giving birth, and you're having us travel all the way down there. You don't know this yet, Joseph, but I'm having you travel further than that. The night after, some days after the birth, I'm having you travel to Egypt because Herod's looking to murder this baby." When the Magi, the wise men, came and said, "Yeah, there's the Messiah is being born right as we speak, and so I'm doing this to you. I'm sure you're burdened. Lord, how am I going to, I know you're telling us to go, and an angel spoke out loud to me and an angel spoke out loud to Mary. Go, get out of town. Don't spend the night here in Bethlehem. Go. And I know you want us to do that, but I got some questions. How long are we going to go? How am I going to feed us? What are we going to use for money?" And all of a sudden these Magi show up and they give them all these treasures that takes care of him in Egypt. How do you do that? "Bob, because I'm God. I'm God. I'm Almighty God. I don't tell you these stories to say, oh, that's cool. No, son, I put these stories in the Bible that are real, really happened, because I want you to have confidence, for you to let go of what you're really counting on in life. Have faith in me, not faith in your resources, not faith in your intelligence, not faith in your job, not me. Me, have faith in me." Yeah, this whole picture here. They went right in, so these guys follow him, Jesus, these two blind men, and it says they went right in to the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord." Now, it's so interesting because when you read through the book of Matthew, the Pharisees and Sadducees call him teacher. They never call him Lord. And their whole existence is trying to take him down, trying to find something wrong he did. Were these two blind men? "Yes, Lord, we do. Yes, Lord." And I love the verse at another time when someone's asked, "Do you believe I can do this?" "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Help me those seasons when I tend to doubt, when it's going a long period of time. Are you gonna do something here, Lord? "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Yeah, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord." Because there's absolutely nothing Jesus can't do. For those two ladies that live in our village, single mom village, to need vehicles, and they show up right then, and one's actually a really nice vehicle. Yeah, wow. And when one of them came up and thanked me for the car, I had nothing to do with it. In fact, I didn't even know it arrived. And I don't even know who gave them. It's all him. You need to know this. It's all him. At the single mom village, auction, we had one of our single moms who was graduated from Sheridan House a year ago come and speak for about 5 minutes talking about her life. She was amazing. She's a high school teacher, and they get their money back. When they pay rent to us, it's forced savings. They get all their money back, and she got back just a hair under $20,000 and learned to save some money in the meantime. And end of the day, she went and bought a townhouse for her and her son. Yeah, and just crying as she's telling the story. And it's all him. Came up and gave me a hug after she spoke and said, "Thank you, thank you. I didn't do anything. I did nothing." And you need to continue on your journey knowing he's got this. And I said, "Let me be your dad for a minute. You're a very attractive young woman. Be careful of the men that are coming after you." And she smiled, "Yeah, yeah. No, be careful. Keep your clothes on. Be careful." She started laughing. I said, "I'm serious. Be very careful. He's got someone for you. You're not past that happening. He's got someone for you." Yeah. Number one on your outline, it's never an issue of can Jesus do this? It's always an issue of do I really believe? Do I really know that Jesus can do anything? There's nothing he can't do. I love the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing. He spoke the whole world into existence. Let there be this, let there be this, let there be this. He loves you. He came and died for you because he can't imagine heaven without you. Yeah. So, number two on your outline, he's either totally Lord or totally not. There is no middle ground here. Totally Lord or totally not. I love the Josh McDowell quote. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. Liar, lunatic, or Lord. Yeah. Well, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord. They said, we do. Of course he can. That's the key. But do I believe that he can? Moses, when we get to heaven, and we've talked about this before, and meet the greats, we're going to realize, wow, I thought he was going to be sharper than this. As we get to spend time with him. And the thing is that made them great is Moses did a lunatic thing. He took almost 2 million people into the wilderness with no food, no water, and knowing that God was going to put food there. Wow. How did you trust at this level? Joseph, spending a slave to working for Potiphar, a lie told about him, put in prison, there for 2.5 years in prison, and decides, you know, I don't know why you got me here. I don't know why you got me here. But the fact that you got me here, I need to be serving. I need to be serving right where I'm at. I sure didn't expect this in my life. And he interprets a dream for two different guys. One guy's back in front of Pharaoh. He worked for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had a dream, and all of a sudden he calls for Joseph to come up. And Pharaoh says, I understand you interpret dreams. And Joseph says, no, I don't interpret dreams. God does. Now, Pharaoh thought he was God. That's a risky statement. Tell me the dream, perhaps God will interpret it through me. He interprets the dream, and that day becomes prime minister of Egypt. Wow. So how did this happen? I trusted God with my circumstances. I trusted God with my difficulties. Yeah, there's no middle ground here. He's totally or he's not. And Moses is such an example. Number three on your outline. The common thread throughout these miracles is your faith. It's your faith in me. The common thread throughout these miracles is your faith in me has done this. That's Jesus talking to us. Of course he can do the seemingly impossible, but you have to believe he can. Oh, I don't know that he can, you know, part waters. These are facts in the Bible. And man, I so hope we have chapel every night in heaven and we get to see it live on the screen. Big screen, waters parting, and I want to see the look on people's faces, but I want to see Moses just going, we're going. I know who God is. He's the same God that fed you every day for 40 years. Are we kidding? It's just, there are manna on the ground. He's God. Of course he can heal them. That's the point. Do I believe Jesus can heal is the whole point here. Yeah, Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So the deal here, he can do it. I have to know he can do it, whatever my particular need is. And I have to know when all of a sudden there's a serious difficulty, okay, you're going to do something with this because all things work together for good for those who love God. You don't have to convince me that the good things work together for good. I already know that. So even the difficult things, even the hard, harsh things, yeah, I'm going to work that together for good. Absolutely. So here's what he does in verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Because of your faith, it will. He touches their eyes. Now, I think there are some people that think, okay, so if I pray, I have to touch somebody's eyes. And I love the number of times he helped blind people see, and he did it differently every time. I mean, one guy, he put spit on his hands. Another guy, he put mud on their eyes. No, it's not a matter of how, it's a matter of who. It's never a matter of how. It's a matter of who. And it's sad to me when other ministries have called to come down to talk to me about Sheridan House and watching. We had one from Canada came down. So we want to know how. And I said, no, it's who. It's who. you made a mistake coming down to think I have a magic plan. I don't. And I think I told you the other day about that pastor up in Myrtle Beach who called and said, can I have a 1-hour appointment just to talk to you on the phone? We're looking at building a building. We don't really have the money. And how do you know when you have enough money to begin building a building? And I said, we've never had enough money, ever, 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 ever. Here's the key, not have enough, but know absolutely for sure, Jesus wants us to do this. And if Jesus wants us to do this, part of the process is step out in faith and watch him. So we just pulled 2 permits on 2 more duplexes, and I've got a new board member who's a businessman, and a little concerned that, you know, the money's pretty tight. I'm concerned that you're doing this before you have the money, and it was unbelievable. 2 separate families came and said, I'll pay for that one, and another one came, I'll pay for that one, a second one he's building. And so I don't know. But Terry, if you know that you know that you know God wants you to do something that appears to be impossible, do it. Because there's a faith journey in this. Yeah, then he touched their eyes and because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were open, verse 30, and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them. This particular verse I don't understand, actually. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone about this. And they went out and told everybody, the whole region. I'm not sure. I think Jesus didn't want people constantly coming just to get a problem fixed. How about a relationship? How about we have a relationship? And relationship is difficult for us, especially men. And one of the hardest things about marriage is Rosemary wanted a relationship. And okay, what does that mean? Can we just sit and talk in the evenings? About what? Can you give me the list of what we're going to talk about ahead of time so I can get kind of prepared? And when you say talk in the evening, how long does that require? Could we have a starting and an ending? Because I didn't know how to talk. I just didn't know how to talk. And I said that to my publisher, Tyndall House, and said, well, maybe that's your next book. Maybe you need to write a book about talking. And we wrote a book called We Need to Talk. And we'd go for rides and pick up different topics, and that'd become a chapter, and I'd write the chapter and hand it off to her, and she'd put big words in it so I looked somewhat intelligent, and just learning how to talk. Because I realized, I've been a therapist for 49 years, I realized I'm telling couples sitting across the desk from me to do things that I'm not doing. Wow. Yeah, it says, but instead, they went out to spread his fame all over the region. Yeah, so many things that seem impossible. The things that God's done in my life. My grandma writing me letters because I'm the oldest grandchild, and she knew I wasn't a believer. And after my mom, it's my mom's mom. After my mom died, my grandma lived in outside of Denver, Colorado. I never saw her again. She and my dad didn't get along. And she'd write me a letter almost once a week, sharing the gospel one way or another. And I came to Christ at 20. And that's a good story too, I'll tell you. I came to Christ at 20 and wrote her a letter that I've come to Christ. And I could tell by her next letter she didn't believe it. And she was 92, I think, and she had a tradition. She was in a home. She had a tradition of watching the Coral Ridge Hour. She loved D. James Kennedy, the Coral Ridge Hour every Sunday. She's watching the Coral Ridge Hour. I'm in the pulpit. And she calls my aunt. Get over here immediately. Bobby's in the pulpit at Coral Ridge. And they're both sitting there crying. That afternoon, my grandma went to heaven. It's like Jesus kept her long enough to know that she knows that she knows that she knows. Wow. And the way I came to Christ, Rosemary had been sharing the gospel, and I only listened because she was beautiful. She still wouldn't go out with me. I was a sophomore. She was a freshman. And she was sharing the gospel. And then Madeline Murray O'Hara, the founder of the atheist movement, came to our university. And I went to hear her. Rosemary did not. And I'm walking out of that thinking, that is the angriest, nastiest person I've ever heard speak in my life. Wow. I went and found Rosemary. And asked her, okay, I don't want to be like her. How do I come to Christ? And she told me what I needed to do, and I prayed, and I'll never forget telling D. James Kennedy this story, and he said, I'm going to give you Andrew Murray, her son's address. He's an evangelist today. He's the one who, when he was in elementary or middle school, Madam Mary O'Hara got them to get Bibles out of schools, and now he's a believer. You've got to write him and tell him, because basically you realize God used Madeline Murray O'Hara to lead you to Christ. I thought, oh, wow. How impossible is that? Oh, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Yeah, it says, but instead they went out and spread his fame all over the region. Yeah, that line in the hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. The sea is, I see that he can do anything. Do anything. Number four, Jesus is the core of your journey. Jesus is the purpose. He's the purpose. He's why we're here. Somehow we've derived other purposes. He's why we are here on this planet. And the things that we're going to be doing on this planet, it's for him, for his glory. But he's the purpose. How do I live for you, Lord? Next, Jesus has the answers to the life issues you are dealing with. Sometimes he doesn't reveal them for a long time. Sometimes he basically fixes it. And I know we all have questions. I when I get to heaven, I'm going to realize that he took my mom. My mom died at 42. I was 16 of cancer. And I remember how many years I was angry with Jesus for that and with God. And I'm going to get to heaven and go, oh, she didn't have to be here. This is a have to. That's a want to. No problems. But Bob, while you're here, you know, have you ever driven down a road and seen a bunch of road workers fixing things, but about half of them are on their phones texting and not using a shovel and just standing around, and you wonder, where is the one in charge here to get these guys to work and get this road fixed? They had a purpose and they missed it. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Yeah. Next, Jesus already knows what is coming up ahead. He already knows what you're getting ready to deal with. What's coming down the road? Jesus already knows it. And yes, next, Jesus knows the plans he has for you. That's the beauty of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans. I absolutely know the plans. Here's the other thing that we take too lightly. When they asked Jesus how to pray, and he gave them the Lord's Prayer, he started with a word, you know, our God who art in heaven. No, our Father. Really? I get to have an Abba-Daddy relationship with God? Oh, no, you don't get to have it. He wants to have it with you. He wants to speak into your heart. He wants to use you for things you never dreamed of. Absolutely. We were talking about O.S. Hawkins, who was in the pulpit at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale this weekend and again next weekend, to me, the greatest pulpit guy I've ever heard and taught me so much. He and I were walking across Broward Boulevard, and as we're walking across Broward Boulevard to go up to the Tower Club to get some lunch, a car pulls up on Broward right out in front of the Tower Club building, and the guy rolls down the passenger window and says, can you tell me how to get to Las Olas Boulevard from here? I can't find Las Olas. Hawkins was weird enough to stick his head in the car so the guy couldn't pull away and said, you know what, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to tell you how to get to Las Olas. I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. Pull over here. Next thing I know, Hawkins is sitting in his car sharing the gospel. I'm watching the guy bow and pray, and I talked to O.S. O.S. called me later and said, I baptized him Sunday. So we go to have lunch, and I said, so help me know how you knew to do that. And he said, I just knew to do it. God was pressing on my heart. I need to do this. And because to me, it was so incredibly obnoxious. This guy said, look, I'm just looking to get to Las Olas. You know, it's kind of like if the waitress that took the order is the waitress that delivers the food, I'll sometimes say, hey, we're getting ready to pray. Anything we can pray for you? And 90% of them start backing away from the table, which is okay. But in the past 2 months, I've had two burst into tears. One sit in the booth with us and gave us what's going on in her life. I thought, wow, Father, you'll even use stupid people like me. But then you did use Balaam's donkey also, so that's not a big deal. Yes, yes. Yeah. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me, is the verse. So my call here is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All, every bit, no corner for anything else. That's Proverbs 3:5. All your heart. And it's the Barry story. Barry was my best friend in high school, and my reunion, I've told you this, my high school 50th reunion, and they're calling me down here. I went to high school in Bethesda, Maryland, which is Washington, D.C., and they're calling down, so you coming, right? You coming, right? I said, nah, not coming. I'm not proud of me in high school. I'm not coming. And Rosemary kept saying, you need to, I'm not going. So they get there to the reunion, and they Google me. This is hilarious. He's written books. And one of them said, I mean, real books? Yeah, look. He's written book, 11 books. So my best friend, Barry, who's a billionaire, says, can I come down and spend the day? I just want to spend the day. I've got a Learjet. I'll fly down. You got some airport in Fort Lauderdale called Executive Airport. If you pick me up, we'll spend the day. And we spent the day, and I took him out to Sheridan House, and we're walking around. And he said, how'd you do this? Barry, I didn't do this. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. I didn't do this. It's all Jesus. And talked to him and shared the gospel, went through EE with him, and he didn't pray to receive Christ. And a month and a half later, he came back for a second time, and he's got so much money and so many homes and so miserable with all his money and homes, and still didn't pray to receive Jesus. But here's the deal. It's not my job to get him to pray. It's my job to offer. It's his job. And maybe I was just the seed planter in his life, and somebody else shares with him, and he comes to Christ. It's your job to be available, notice what's going on around you, be kind to people, share the gospel when you can, and then leave the results to God. Because if we're not careful, if he prays to receive Christ, oh, I led Barry to Christ. No, I couldn't lead anybody anywhere. It's all him. But to make blind see, cripple walk, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And don't get bogged down in, so why didn't you heal my mom, Father? Because I wanted her with me. I wanted her home forever and ever. Okay. And I know I'll understand that better when I get there with you. But I have to choose to trust you with all my heart. It's all about faith today. And it's all about getting in our cars in a minute and saying, Lord, where is my faith weak in my life? Is my faith weak in my job, my finances, my marriage, my health? Because I want to start choosing to trust you all and give you the glory. And Lord, when you work something out or you make it be awesome, and I will promise to give you the glory. Unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you would ask or imagine, to God be the glory forever and ever, amen, not to me.